that is inside a basket. A basket, a measuring unit that would measure flour and dry seeds. Now, what was an idol doing where? In God's temple. Did it belong there? No, it did not belong there. And God said, I'm going to take that idol out, send it to where it belongs. Where does it belong? In Babylon. Exactly. That's the land of Shinar. For many years, God had shared a place in his own temple with other idols. And he was not going to take that any longer. He said, no, Joshua, no, Zerubbabel, that idol, they can build a temple for it over there in Babylon. The next picture, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Four horses with chariots, or actually four chariots with horses. Yes, and they had two horses each. And it describes them in very detailed, in a very detailed way. Verse 1 says, now I lifted my eyes again and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming forth from between the two mountains. And the mountains were bronze mountains. With the first chariots were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, with the third chariots white horses, and with the fourth chariot strong dappled horses. Then I spoke and said to the angel who was speaking with me, what are these, my Lord? And we ask that same question, don't we? What are these? And verse 5 tells us, and the angel answered and said to me, these are the four spirits of heaven, going forth after standing before the Lord of all the earth, with one of which the black horses are going forth to the north country, and the white ones go forth after them, while the dappled ones go forth to the south country. And when the strong ones went out, they were eager to patrol the earth. And he said, go, patrol the earth. So they patrolled the earth. Then he cried out to me and spoke to me, saying, see, those who are going to the land of the north have appeased my wrath in the land of the north. Literally, it says, caused my spirit to rest in it. What was the land of the north? Does anybody know? In the Bible, the land of the north is always related to Babylon. Babylon. And God had people still where? In Babylon, who he needed to bring out of her. These spirits, these angels, these beings, where did they stand? They stood in front of the presence of God. These spirits might be the ones described in the book of Revelation. Four of them that stand before God, and the only thing they can say is, holy, holy, holy. They worship him day and night. They don't get tired of singing him praises. But they are eager also to go out and to tell the world who God is. Who is he? Who is this God that you and I worship this morning? A professor from Princeton University wrote a book called Almost Christian. She surveyed 3,500 teenagers who claim to be Christian, 13 through 17 years old. She wanted to know why they followed God, why they worshiped him. What was their faith based on? And to her surprise, when she asked the questions and the surveys came back, the answer came back saying, I follow God because he makes me feel But tell me about him. Who is he? I don't know, but he makes me feel good. As if God were a therapist. She said, the blame? the pastors. They're to be blamed for not teaching, for not sharing, for not instructing. But also, parents, for not sharing their faith with their children, for letting somebody else deal with that subject. But there were those of the interviewed who had an answer, who had something to say. And among the characteristics that these young people had, one of them, let me go back. I have four of them here written down. They had a personal story to tell about God. Amen? They had a personal experience about God. They had a deep connection to a faith community. They went to church. Number three, they had a sense of purpose. And number four, they also had a sense of hope about their future. Four things characterized these young people. And they were able to express clearly why they worshiped God, why they believed in Him. But coming back to Zechariah, chapter 6, verse 9 tells us, "The word of the Lord also came to me, saying, take an offering from the exiles, from Heldai, Tobiah, and Jediah, and you go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, where they have arrived from Babylon." They had just come out of Babylon, and they had brought some of their offerings, silver and gold. And this is the order that God gave Zechariah. "Take silver and gold, make an ornate crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then say to him, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, a man who his name is Branch. For he will branch out from where he is, and he will build the temple of the Lord.'" In this picture, God asks Zechariah to grab some offering, make a crown, go over to Joshua, the high priest at the time, and tell him, "You will be now named Branch." Not Joshua anymore. Branch. Sprout. A little seed that falls to the ground, dies, and comes back up again. You will be king. You will build the temple. You will be the high priest. Verse 13 tells us, "Yes, it is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he who will bear the honor and sit and rule on his throne. Thus he will be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace will be between the two offices." Who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords? Who is our high priest? What is his name? Can anybody tell me? Jesus. Jesus is his name. He is our high priest. He is the King of Kings. He will sit in his throne. Nobody else's throne. It's his throne. And his counsel will bring peace to all nations. The awaited one. Verse 14 and 15 tells us, "Now the crown will become a reminder in the temple of the Lord to Helam, Tobiah, Jediah, and Hen, the son of Zephaniah. And those who are far off will come, and they will build the temple of the Lord. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and it will take place if you completely obey the Lord your God." When will it happen? When you completely what? Obey. There is a condition for God's plan to take place. His people must obey. what, Pastor Sam? You're saying that God depends on us human beings to carry out his plan? I'm not saying it. He's saying it. He wants you and me to be part of this beautiful construction of this temple, not being built by precious stones, timber, metal, but this time it's being built with you and me in mind. Amen? We are part of that temple, of that construction. Chapter 7 and chapter 8 are different in the way they discuss a topic, but related also to what we just talked about. And what we've been talking about is the temple. And what happens in the temple is we worship God in that temple. And that question came up in Zechariah's time. Worship. How do we worship an almighty God? And this is what God revealed to Zechariah the prophet. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Then it came about in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Chislev." So 2 years later, after they had begun building the temple, this question came among the brethren of Judah. Now the town of Bethel had sent Sharezer and Regem-Melech and their men to seek the favor of the Lord, speaking to the priest who belonged to the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophet, saying, "Shall I weep in the fifth month and abstain?" That means eat nothing, "as I have done these many years?" Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Say to all the people of the land and to the priest, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, these 70 years, because they had been doing this for 70 years, the question came, was it actually for me that you fasted? When you worshiped, when you offered your prayers, your petitions, when you sang songs, when you fasted because you knew these were difficult times, were you doing it for me?" said God. "Or were you doing it for yourself?" Verse 6, "And when you eat and drink, do you not eat for yourselves? And do you not drink for yourselves? Are not these the words which the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous with its cities around it, and the Negev and the foothills were inhabited?" Had God told his people how he wanted to be worshipped? He had been very clear. Very clear. Verse 8, "The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus has the Lord of hosts says, dispense true justice, practice kindness and compassion, each to his brother, and do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another." As if saying, this is worship. This is worship. To dispense true justice, practice kindness and compassion, each to his brother, not oppressing the widow, the orphan, the stranger, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. But what did they do? Verse 11, "They refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped after the ears from hearing. And they made their hearts like flint so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. And it came about that just as he called and they would not listen, so they called, said God, and I would not listen. But I scattered them with a storm wind among all the nations whom they have not known. Thus the land is desolated behind them, so that no one went back and forth. for they made the pleasant land desolate. Who had made the land desolate? Was it God? Or could we accuse the Babylonians, the Persians, of making the land desolate? Who had made it desolate? The people. They had turned their back against God. Turned their back to God. But does God give up that easily? He's more stubborn than your horse, Wendy. More willful than anybody you could imagine. He does not give up easily. Amen? Amen? Doesn't give up. Chapter 8. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came saying. And what you'll notice in chapter 8, or what I noticed in chapter 8, was the word of the Lord of hosts said. It just repeats it time after time after time, like if it was his favorite expression for chapter 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Zion. Yes, with great wrath, I am jealous for her. I don't give up. She is mine. Thus says the Lord, verse 3, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts will be called the holy mountain. A city of truth. A city that would be called holy. A city where God himself had made his dwelling. What does that city look like? Verse 4 on tells us how it looks like. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women will again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each man with his staff in his hand because of age. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing in the streets. Yes, in Zechariah's time, the street was a dangerous place too. They didn't have cars, but they had mules running by. Yes, and horses, and carts, and people who were hurting other people. But when God is dwelling in our midst, there is nothing to be afraid. Amen. Nothing. You can feel safe. If you're old or young, you can feel safe in that city. Verse 6, thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is too difficult in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, will it also be too difficult in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts? As if saying, is there anything impossible for me? Nothing is impossible for me to do. Verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I'm going to save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they will live in the midst of Jerusalem, and they will be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Thus says the Lord, verse 9 of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who are listening in these days to these words from the mouth of the prophets. Those who spoke in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, to the end that the temple might be built. For before those days, yes, there was no prosperity, no wage for man or any wage for animal. And for him who went out or came in, there was no peace because of his enemies. And I set all men one against another. But now I will not treat the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts. For there will be peace for the seed. The vine will yield its fruit, the land will yield its produce, and the heavens will give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all things. Amen? Where does our prosperity come from? Who is our source? God. God himself is the one saying these words. Verse 13, and it will come about that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, that you may become a blessing. Do not fear. Do not let your hand, let your hands be strong. Amen? Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. 14, for thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I purpose to do harm to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I have not relented, so I have again purposed in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things which you should do. And I'm concluding with this. These are the things that God expects from his children. These are the essential things. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth and judgment for peace in your gates. Let none of you devise evil in your heart against another. Do not love perjury, false oath, lies. For all these are what I hate, declares the Lord. Can you imagine a home where everybody speaks the truth to one another? Where everything is judged with truth and discernment, and because of that, peace is at their gates? A house where no one devises evil against his brother or sister or against his neighbor? Where there's no existence of lies? Now that's a house I want to go to, amen? How about a church like that? Is that possible? That's what God wants. That's what he says is worship. And he says, he promises, that if we follow these instructions, there's not going to be a place in this house of worship for the amount of people that will be coming here. That's his promise. That's what his word says. People will be asking you to bring them to this place of worship. Verses 18 and on. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth month. I know they were hard on you, but you know what? Now they will become joy. Amen? A joyful service, gladness, and cheerful feast for the house of Judah. Therefore, so love, truth, and peace. Seek that truth and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, it will be yet that peoples will come, even the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one will go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will also go. So many people and mighty nations will come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Verse 23, thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every language will grasp the garment of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Amen? Is God with us? Is God with his people today? If he is, his promise is that people will come to us asking, why are you like that? Why are you kind to me when I've been mean to you? Why do you take care of not just your property, but my property as well when it's not yours? Why do you speak the truth, even if it hurts you financially? And we, as God's people, will say, because I have a relationship with him. Amen? I belong to a group of people that we believe that nothing on this earth is more valuable than having a relationship with God. I have a purpose of being here on this earth. I'm not here by accident. And you know what? I have hope of the future. People might be crying and saying and doing. I have hope that my God is in control of all things. Amen? And people from all nations will draw because they want to know who God is. Amen? May God bless us. May his Holy Spirit teach us to be kind, to say the truth, to love one another, because we believe that Jesus is coming soon. Amen.